As we approach Election Day, November 6th, we're interviewing congressional candidates around the state. Today, we're talking with Republican candidate Jeff Jones. He's running in Michigan's 12th district and challenging incumbent Debbie Dingell. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here. It's an honor to be here.
So you ran for Congress in 2016.
Yes, sir.
So what inspired you or encouraged you to run again?
Well, the job wasn't done. Certainly that we had an amazing gain. We received almost 100,000 votes, just shy of that.
I'll put that into context because that's basically she won by a 2-1 margin, right?
You're right, right. So, but our Republicans never received 100,000 votes, and I did so by crossing the line. We estimate about 35% of those votes came from independents and Democrats, so we're pretty happy with those results. But there was more work to be done, and so we're here doing it.
So what are your best assets or experiences that qualifies you to be a member of Congress?
Well, I think really about 30 years of executive upper management and about 35 years of ministry. And to some people, that may not make me a politician. I hope I never really become one, but I'll take the title that comes with it. My role is to uphold the Constitution of the United States and to do so without mental reserve, and that's the issue.
If you're elected, what would be your top priority? I mean, what would be your number one goal to get done?
Well, I think I would really work hard on stopping omnibus bills and going to a one-item legislation at a time. I think that omnibus bills is the perfect plan for lobbyists and politicians to hide how they're invested or the debt they have to pay back. And if we could look at it line by line, it would give us a lot more ability as citizens and to see how it's actually being voted. Because, again, who has time to read 1,500 pages at 7 o'clock in the morning and you got to vote in 2 hours? And that's part of the covering that's been taking place for years. And that's what I hope to do is take the cover off.
You mean because they include a lot of pork?
Which
a lot of Congress people like because they can bring something home to the district then.
Well, again, it's still part of the voice of community that gets hidden because, again, it is very lobbyist driven. And I believe that lobbyists steals our voice. You know, I mean, when I ran in 2014 as an independent, someone told me, Jeff, if you had $8 million, you can buy this seat. And I said, excuse me, what do you mean? You spend $8 million, Jeff, and we'll guarantee you that you win the seat. And I said, what? I had no idea that this was part of the play. And since then, that's all I've been experiencing is the influences of money that buys political position versus the causes that are in community that need to be settled.
What is the problem in the 12th district that most needs attention?
I would say bringing community together and understanding our Constitution as a whole. It's the very thing that unites us. Party politics have divided us long enough. Certainly in the community that I live in, there's a great disparity. You know, it's technically a 70-30 split between Democrats and Republicans to the favor of Democrats. The problem is a massive realization this week when I came across an 85-year-old couple in Woodhaven that had lived in their home almost 35 years. It was just random. I just stopped at a house randomly on a road, pulled in, knocked on the door, and they welcomed me. We had great conversation. They're 100% in favor of me. Said, Jeff, boy, you got our vote. This is great. And I said, okay, do you think I could put a sign in your front yard? Oh, Jeff, I'm sorry. You can't do that. And I said, excuse me, why couldn't I? Well, my neighbors are both Democrats, and we'll be bullied and probably harassed, not only when we just take out the trash, but even the concern of our safety under our home and our belongings, because we're bullied in our home, so we can't put signs up to express our First Amendment rights. And I thought that was one of the most saddest things that I've ever heard. And so those are things that have to be addressed in our community.
So how would you address them?
Well, first of all, people got to understand it. I think that when we communicate with community, someone's got to stand up and say insurrection is not the resolve. Resistance, I guess, wasn't working, and so this was the next step to it, to create incivility. You know, and I just don't think that is by I guess it's a crime against humanity that needs to be expressed. So I guess it's got to be an educational factor that we don't have to argue and hate over are the things that we like to stand for or not stand for. So it's, I guess, ethical resolve You know, again, I could run my entire campaign on love your neighbors yourself, but I don't know if the world's ready for that one yet. But anyway, so yeah, I think it's an education factor.
I was looking over your website, and you frequently mention a tyrannical government. You're a Republican. The president is a Republican. Both chambers of Congress are run by Republicans. The governor's a Republican. Both chambers of the state capitol are run by Republicans. Why do you think government is tyrannical?
Well, I don't think that government is tyrannical, but I do believe it's capable of becoming tyrannical. And certainly as we make those statements about – it's about the attack against the Constitution that's been slowly dissolved away and chipped away at for the last 50 to 100 years. So to me, it doesn't matter who's in the White House or what administration is. My obligation is to uphold the oath of Congress, to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and to do so without mental reserve, which means I can't pick and choose the subject matters. I have to speak on behalf of the Constitution and my community. And even if everybody is for you, I should say this, wrong is everything. Wrong is still wrong if everyone is for you, and right is still right if everyone's against you. So these are some of the issues that have to be addressed. So I've never been 100% in agreement with any president. I'm going to have disagreements. I'm going to have but my role is to bring out the best of everybody. That's as a human being, as you know, as certainly in Congress, I think that's how we get to work together, is how do we express the understandings versus creating the battle. And you know, party politics have divided us long enough, but we have to find the things that unite us.
You've mentioned that we've been chipping away at the Constitution. I wonder if you'd give me an example or two of what you mean by that.
Okay. Well, I guess certainly personal experience. The 14th Amendment is such a powerful amendment, and it promises life, liberty, and property to all American citizens, right? It's also where we understand the due process law. It's where we get parental rights and grandparent rights. It's also the amendment that challenges forms of immigration. And these are things that little by little have been, I guess, either ignored. I just give you a personal experience. In 2012, my youngest daughter, who was born with Downs at age 4, was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. I didn't agree with the diagnosis. They had not presented me with an oncologist that could verify that. It was interns at the time. There was no oncologist on staff. And when I started to question the medical world, I found out that the first threat that came to me was, well, you either do what we say or we're gonna take your child away from you. I said, you gotta be kidding me. I want my daughter better. I want my daughter healed. I'm just not in agreement with the diagnosis or the process. Anyways, in a 10-day period of time, my daughter's lymphoblast went from 42% of her blood was not forming. It was blasting apart. With their diagnosis would be leukemia, although there are other blood abnormalities that follow some of these things. I said, well, just give me a number. What number do you need to see? It was 42. I said, what would happen when it turns to zero? They said, Mr. Jones, there's no miracle on the planet that's going to help your child right now to step away from chemotherapy here in Michigan. And so it did go to zero. One little by little, every day it dropped with no chemotherapy. And after 10 days, it finally reached zero. And I thought, we're free. We're going to go home. I mean, my daughter doesn't have cancer in her peripherals, you know, whatever. It wasn't in her blood, in her bone aspirations either. So anyways, for 2 years, that's when I say all hell broke loose is we said, okay, look, we're going home. And they said, oh, no, you're not. You know, you're starting chemotherapy today on your 6-year-old daughter, or we're taking your daughter away. And I said, you got to be kidding me. This is absolutely ridiculous. And finding out that my 14th Amendment was being violated and been chewed away in so many different ways through the medical world that no one even saw it happening, I guess. And I didn't see it happen. I didn't know how it was that doctors could tell you what to do, you know, based on how you wanted to care for your child. And this is even part of public education, you know, documentation that we have as parents, that right to do so. So anyways, when that all took place, for 2 years, my daughter was forced into chemotherapy until she died in my arms. And so my daughter for 2 years received chemotherapy for cancer that didn't exist inside her body. I thought that was very frustrating. And through that, I started to educate myself on the Constitution and the issues that were at hand. I think the Second Amendment has been infringed upon. I think the 10th Amendment, the enumerated powers of Congress have been expanded and go and operate outside of those issues. I think the First Amendment is ignored and violated in so many areas and under attack, actually, in certain areas over the last 20, 30 years. And so these were the things that I started noticing that, oh, my goodness. And then trying to relate those to some sort of of how and why and you know, and then understanding the positioning of some of those tremendous Bill of Rights and how they were placed or why they were placed. And we forget about the Third Amendment. And even though, you know, very rarely do we see government, you know, taking over your house and stealing your chickens, your horse, and maybe your children and burning your house down. But that's what happened in the country at the time it was written. So it said, you know what? When they finally sat down and wrote that Constitution, they said, we're never, ever, ever, ever going to let this happen again in the United States. So they placed the Second Amendment in front of the Third Amendment that said, no, you can't quarter, you know, you can't take over civilian housing and so forth. And the Second Amendment has a powerful play. Not that everybody's waiting to draw their guns. That's ridiculous. But responsible gun ownership and the opportunity to protect your family or to protect your community, or God help us, if we have leadership now that embraces the philosophies of Antifa and says that, oh my goodness, you can, you know, if you can't resist, you can go ahead and riot. I call that insurrection. And I would say that anybody who took an oath of office and anybody who runs for an office that supports it has violated even more constitutional amendments that we don't even realize. So, yeah, it's been chipped away at.
And this is the primary reason you're running for Congress?
I would say it's the primary reason I'm running, yeah, that someone needs to stand. So I think the Constitution unites us as a community rather than divide us like party politics has. I'm not a party politician. I don't look around my community and say, oh, there's a Democrat, there's a Republican, oh, there's this faction, there's that faction, or this person who – and I don't care if they're 0.5% of the population. They live in my community, and my obligation is to hear them, listen to them, and find resolve for us in community. And so, yeah, that's my why, that's my reasoning, and that's my purpose for living.
Jeff Jones is the Republican candidate to represent Michigan's 12th Congressional District. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.